I thank the Lord for you dear folks that have been faithful to Him, your prayers, and your friendship. And it is, again, I say good, very good to be with you. If you'll turn with me this afternoon, we'll look at the Psalms. We'll begin in the Psalms, chapter number 21. Psalm chapter 21, if you have that, if you will hold it, please, and let's again unite our hearts, surely not to outdo or add to, but because of God's goodness and our need, let's again go to Him in prayer. Almighty God, again, in the name of Christ, we draw nigh Thee. We thank You, Lord, that we're able to call You our Father. We thank You that in Your good pleasure, You've seen fit to make Yourself known unto us. We see, yea, Lord, even though it is through the glass darkly, we see. We know we've tasted of Thy salvation. You've made Christ to our heart precious. Lord, we didn't choose You. We didn't decide we'd follow You. You chose us. And Lord, there have been a lot of times that I didn't even know that my heart was in the condition it was in until You put Your hand at the door. I found it to be cold and indifferent. And I found Your goodness and Your mercies continually extended to us. We cannot repay, we just thank You. And Lord, if it's pleasing unto You this afternoon, we pray that You might again open Thy Word, that we might see more of You, that we might know more of Your work, creating, producing hearts that love You, hearts that bow before You, lives surrendered unto You. Enable these, O God, to get beyond the voice of a man and hear from You. Glorify Thy great name . Continue to cleanse us from our sins and give us grace as has already been requested. Oh God, give us grace that we might finish that we've put our hands to. Hear us now. And overcome flesh and its hindrances to deliver to your people that you would have them here this day. Help us, O God, in Christ's name, for his sake we beg. Amen. In the 21st Psalm, one of David, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, the law. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. One of the Psalms of David, but as in other cases, it is one of those Psalms that looks beyond David to the greater. His glory, his name, his fame, his glory is great in thy salvation. That could be said of David. For God had delivered him on many occasions from the wild beast, from man, from providences of God that had put him in difficult straits. Time and again, David had seen the glory of God in his great salvation. But it goes beyond that of daily walks, daily deliverances. We say, look what great deliverance that God has for David. And if this is one of Christ, if this psalm be of the greater David, then we say the same. His glory is great in thy salvation, as we see God having delivered him from the hands of wicked men, from the hands of a religious crowd that would have crucified him long time before they did. God delivered Christ on many occasions. But every time that Christ was delivered from the hands of the wicked men, as David was, from the hands of the giant, from the snares of his enemies to the traps where they had set for wild game, as David was delivered, so was Christ. But every time that God delivered his son from hands of wicked men, He was bringing him closer to the time when he would not deliver him. David said, honor and majesty has thou laid upon him. Honor and majesty's been fitted to thy son. It's been made adequate to him. David delivered, glorying in God's great salvation, enabled to bear honor and majesty because his soul had been fitted for it. He had what Paul called the Bereans, a noble man, more noble than others, because God placed honor and majesty upon him meant that he was able to walk right and stay right with God. But he was able to do that because everything from then up until God delivered him for the last time to set him in honor, his heart had been fitted to bear that majesty and bear that glory by all the difficult straits that he'd been placed in. So the Lord Jesus took upon him the form of a body, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, underwent trial after trial and persecution and affliction. The Jews wanted to heap upon Jesus honor and majesty, but they wanted to do it apart from his death. Man would like the honor of God and the majesty of God placed upon him, but man would not have that as God would place it. Man would bypass the trials. Man would bypass the tears. They would bypass the loneliness. You would get beyond all this that God might place honor upon you. But God has to bring you through all this great salvation, that his honor and majesty might be upon his people. Look at the 8th Psalm. Psalm number 8. Psalm number 8. God's glory is great in his salvation. Honor and majesty God lay upon Christ, finally. Verse 5 of Psalm 8. Before Christ was raised in honor, before David ever sat in that place of honor, God made his son a little lower than the angels. But then he crowned him with glory and honor. Jesus Christ had to push aside the temptation from one of his very own disciples when he was speaking of his death, and that disciple said, "No. Not so, Lord." And though that flesh of Christ may have vented an amen to what Peter said, the Spirit of the Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan." If I bear God's honor and God's majesty, I go through these heavy, manifold trials. The Jew would set him on the back of since he's riding on a ass, they'll leave him there. They'd rather he been on a stallion that day. But they'll sit him there and they'll take palm leaves and they'll take their coats and they'll spread them before him and they'll cry, Hosanna to the King. And then they find out that he's going to die. And they'll curse him. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat die and fall into the ground, it abideth alone. David never could have stood under the honor of God had it not been for the cave. Had it not been for the giant, had it not been for the bear, had it not been for his own afflictions in that very own family of his, he could not. God will not raise you to honor apart from death. His son, God, raised him to sit at his right hand, but he carried him through the ground that man had created. He's going to do that to you, folks. You go. Look at the 104th Psalm, if you would, please. Psalm 104. Thy salvation, thy great salvation, that with honor and majesty. But in Psalm 104, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Wake up. Get up. Soul, arise. Bless the Lord. If you are laying on this bed of ease, get up. Get off of this easy street and bless the Lord. O Lord my God, thou art very great. You know what'll make that hope? The cave, the giant, the bear, the lion, the cross. Until you have experimentally walked in the valley, until God has set you alone and no man can bear with you. You cannot speak to man. Until there you stood alone with God in the face of the lion or the bear or the giant, you don't know the greatness of God. As much as the flesh would squinch and squirm and beg God to rid you of that, you get through and you look and you say, how great God is. What a big God. Oh, my soul, my Lord, my God, thou art very great. You know what, folk? That's not the words of the psalmist. That's the words of this preacher. That's not adulterating the word of God. Paul said, my gospel. He was not belittling the gospel of Christ, but that word embedded in his soul that it was his. And God's mind. up straight. The psalmist said he's clothed with honor and with majesty. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that went through Gethsemane, went to the cross, went back to the earth. God resurrected him and clothed him in honor and majesty. Go with me to Genesis, if you would, please, for a few minutes. Twenty-second chapter of Genesis. Beginning with verse 6, you know and are familiar with the story. I refresh your memory. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And Abraham said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Wonder how many times that boy had been with his dad out to offer up sacrifice. I know he'd been enough that he knew that there had to be a fire. And he'd been enough that he knew there had to be the wood. Because he identified those two in that sacrifice. But he couldn't find a lamb. I wonder what the lad thought as he watched his father build an altar of earth. Because God demanded that they from the earth make an altar. Exodus. God made man from earth. God made the earth for man. God put a law that man might honor and glorify him through obedience. But he broke that law. To redeem sinful man. To clothe Adam and Eve, God took an animal or two. Some say that God slew two animals and clothed them, took off those fig leaves and clothed them, and those two animals the world has never ever known. I don't know, but I know that he clothed them with skin. This boy knew that there would be a fire, and he knew that his dad was going to lay that wood in place and then start the fire and slay the sacrifice. He'd roast that sacrifice. Isaac could be raised to honor and clothed in majesty and referred back to as the son of. And then the father off and list out his seed. He could be raised to that because when he asked his father that question, there is no hint of retaliation or objection. Mm-hmm.
He watched as his father built the fire, as he built the altar, as he laid the wood on, as he built the fire. He sat or he lay still as he bound the sacrifice where it had to be. Psalm 118. Isaac's a young man now, and Abraham's getting age on him. He may have seen countless times when his dad would take a lamb. It may have been his lamb. It may have been a pet. It may have been one dear to him. Nevertheless, he'd seen his father slay it. Folk, no wonder the heavens turn black when God bound the hands of the Lord Jesus and the feet. No wonder the sun went away and refused to shine. I wonder as the angels witnessed an act of obedience and faith in Abraham, wonder what went through their minds. They thought. And then when they saw God do that, they just thought that in Genesis was a spectacle. Well, one of them stayed the hand of Abraham on that boy. But God didn't have anybody when he drew the sword back. That sword cut deep within his soul. There was nobody. Nobody. And the sad thing about the whole situation is that God did it for a bunch of rebellious, stinking, God-hating sinners. No wonder David speaks of the majesty and of the honor placed upon Christ. Isaac could bear honor. Abraham could, because what they'd gone through. Look at Psalm 105. He was clothed in honor. He was clothed in majesty. Psalm 105, verse number 16. God called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread, so that his people might be protected, so that there would be provisions for them in this drought. God, verse number 17, God sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. His feet, they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron, the marginal. His soul came into iron. And so that lad would bear in the jail. He'd bear the afflictions that his God placed upon him, and he did it without murmuring and complaining. He did it without grumbling. God stuck a piece of iron through his soul, but he bowed to the divine providence of God. And because of his submission, God raised him to rule the world. All he had to do was answer to Pharaoh and none else. But he didn't skip merrily along till one day he was voted into office down there in Egypt. We got it backwards today, folk. This salvation that America's handed comes, except Jesus, everything will be all right. Your problems will all be over. They don't know. They don't know the God. They don't know this book. They're preaching that which is untrue. Christ was raised to honor. Christ was clothed in majesty, the psalmist said, but that was second. That is after the hands were bound. That is after the iron went through the soul. That is after the wrath of God built fire under the sacrifice. That is after the Lord Jesus had to look up and beg God or say, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Father. But he couldn't even say that in that hour, folks. Boy, that precious word, sometimes when you, only you, you're down in the jail cell like a Joseph. That word, Father, becomes precious to your soul as the Holy Ghost of God brings it off the soul, and you know he's bearing it up there to one. It's not a name to you, it's a person. He is your God. He is the God. He is a great God. He's yours. It's the iron in the soul that makes Christ. It's the hands bound that makes God's sacrifice precious to us. No wonder Joseph could sit on the throne in Egypt, stretch out his arms to embrace a bunch of brothers according to the flesh that had wanted to murder him, but one prevented it. No wonder he could bid them into the king's palace and say, forgiven, or don't worry about it, don't be afraid. No wonder that man's heart was like it was, soul had been pierced through with iron. So God raised his son in majesty and in honor. In Exodus, the 28th chapter, my watch died the other day, so I'm not plagued with that. Mike Walker, back there. I'll borrow one when you start. Exodus 28. Thank you, dear Lord, for the little humor, but dear folk, get our soul back to this. Call your heart back here now. Verse number 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons.
take him from among the children of Israel. Take him from among men, that he may minister unto me. But now look at verse 2. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. He's got to come from man. He is as sinful man. He is a sinner. He's going to step into the Holy of Holies. And though he's man, he's stepping in there. We've got a holy garment wrapped around him. We've got that garment hemmed and embroidered, and it is of fine linen, as in another place is described. Revelation 19, the fine linen speaks of the righteousness of the saints. The linen, the fine linen, the linen garment that went around the high priest, it spoke of the righteousness of Christ. Taken from man to minister to God. Coming from God, taking on the body of a flesh to minister to God, to intercede for his Christ. Was clothed with a fleshly garment. Aaron was clothed with a fine linen that he might represent to the Jew, to Israel, that he might represent the greater high priest. The greater high priest was clothed with an earthly garment. That's why God, for some little instant there, did something to roll away just a little. When, brother, you were talking about Peter on the Mount, when Christ was revealed, was it God just laying back that outer garment just a little bit that he had veiled over the glory of his Son with? Was it, folk? Aaron had to put on one. That he might minister to God, Christ took one that he might minister to us. But he put it on for glory and for beauty. Now, folk, that is in the sight of God. It is glorious. It is with great honor and majesty, but in the sight of his, in the sight of the church, there is in the flesh of Jesus, there's great honor and majesty. And I say without reservation that all God's children love that man Jesus. There are times that it seems that I don't. My heart's so indifferent to him. But it's not so. You can't experimentally know the Lord Jesus Christ and not love him. Though in God's sight he is precious. I'm saying in the sight of the church, we see the Lord Jesus clothed. Though he's clothed with that humility, we see him in a robe wherein it is of great honor and majesty, for we know what he's done for the children of God.
We'd fight hell high water. Liberal preachers, sorry preachers, sorry deacons, demon-filled, cold-hearted churchgoers. We'd fight the whole crowd for the name of Christ. You want to see something precious, folk? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 6. Aaron had to put on a fine linen for glory, for honor. Christ. Aaron walked back there into that holy place with that garment on, identifying himself to those people as a type of the coming great high priest. If those folk didn't get any farther than the man Aaron, they missed God in him. Verse number 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood. Number one, that he had to offer for himself. Number two, that he had to offer for the errors of the people. Verse number 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Aaron got to go in. Aaron went in dressed in a linen garment that spoke of honor and of majesty. But he had to go into a tabernacle that was made with hands. He had to go in with the blood of an innocent lamb. He had to offer it up for his own sins first before he could ever turn around and be the priest for the people's sins. The Holy Ghost signifying. That's the way into the holiest, but it's not yet been made manifest. Verse number 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Has not someone today already suggested that? That man walked out. He walked in robed. With blood, offered it up for his sins, offered it up for the sins of his people, took care of the ministration of the high priest's office in the holy place, turned around and walked out, and it was no different in his soul. For the blood of bulls and of goats could not take away sin. So God prefigured, typed, signified the coming high priest where he would walk into the holy in a robe clothed with honor and majesty. Christ counted his death as glory. John 12. Doesn't make sense, does it? Counting the cross as his glory. I don't understand love like that. I can't. They walked in, clothed in that linen garment.
But it wasn't the blood of goats, bulls, or of lambs. He presented to his Father his own blood that he had been spilling the last day, drop by drop, gush by gush, until it all drained his life. I mean, Bible said the life in the blood. Christ gave up the ghost because his blood drained from his body. And now God clothed his people in majesty and in honor, and he's invited you into the holy place. And I have walked away with a conscience void of offense toward God and toward me. Will you permit me one last thing? Precious to my heart, may God to yours. He got the garment on. But he's behind the curtain. And nobody knows. See, he's got to be careful getting into the presence of God. And nobody knows whether or not he's dead. They can't see him. But that the people of God might know that the work was going on, God had him hem golden bells in his linen coat. And he's back there full working. And that little bell, or those little bells jingling. God hadn't killed him yet. Our high priest still alive. God must be accepting the sacrifice and the offering. So our high priest entered into the holy place, took his blood with him, offered it up for the sins of his people. And he's been gone for some time back there. But folk, I heard the last 3 or 4 years in particular, I've heard the bells ring. I've seen God move. I know that my high priest is back there, and that debt that he's offered to God's been accepted because the bells have rung, and they've continued to ring. You don't believe that? You just think who's sitting here in this building today and from where they've come. And why they've come. Has not God worked a great work in our hearts when folk will take off in the middle of the week and drive for hours to get under the roof of a place where there's a people that love God and worship God? Isn't that the bells shining? I know that they're ringing because in my soul there, I'm a greater sinner today than I was 5 years ago. Amen. He's been gone a long time. But the length might have something to do with the great work. And it calls for patience and faith on your part. For Peter said, the scoffers, where's the promise of his coming? We've heard that all our lives. I've been preaching 20 few years. And it just now seems recently that I've been hearing the bells. Seem like God's just been working it all up for these last little while. And so the high priest sits there. Our brother mentioned John 13. Now that Christ was about to depart out of the world, having loved his own who were in the world. What about those in glory? He didn't mention that when he was dying. All he mentioned was his people that were in the world. He knew the sword of the iron. He knew of the furnace of affliction. He knew of the deep waters. He had already got those in glory through. John magnifies his love to his living people. And so to you, the living child of God, the high priest sits there. God accepted his sacrifice because the bells chimed on Pentecost. 200 and some odd years ago, God sent some folk to this land to build a place where they could worship him in truth and in spirit. This old land's seen the Spirit of God, revival here and revival there. But oh, he is at work today. And so now you persevere and you be patient and you glorify the high priest and you praise him and you magnify him. The gospel of God calls you to love Christ with all of your heart. The gospel calls you, if necessary, to depart from all earthly ties that would hinder your relationship to him and his son, be it as dear as a father, mother, brother, or sister. Depart. God calls for you to separate yourself from all sins, though as dear as the right eye and as the arm. Cut it off. God didn't have somebody stay his hand when he bound his son and lay him on the altar. Now he's got a right and he deserves your best. And get in or get out. Love him or go to hell. And if you think those words are stern, they're nothing compared to that if you don't heed the good word of God. Thank you, brother, pastor, for your invite, and you, dear folk, for your attention.